Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 168. I'm Rob Wright, Security News Director at TechTarget, and I am here, as usual, with Alex Kalafi, Security News Writer. Alex, welcome back.
Thanks, Rob. Always good to be here, especially for an early-in-the-week episode relative to our normal podcast encounters.
Yes. Typically, we wait for stuff to unfold through the week and try to zero in on a topic that we find interesting and want to discuss. This week, we're recording this on a Tuesday, February 16th. We are changing it up a little bit this week because the topic we want to discuss occurred Sunday night, and it's not a hack. Rather, it's a report about a hack, a 60 Minutes episode on the SolarWinds attack, and a 60 Minutes overtime segment, sort of like a extra 5-6 minute report, in addition to the main 60 Minutes episode, which I think was about 12 or 13 minutes of pretty substantial. And we wanted to discuss this because it's elicited some pretty strong reactions from cybersecurity experts, InfoSec Twitter. There are a lot of reasons why it's elicited strong reactions and criticism from folks, and we'll get into it here, but a big part of it is, and we're going to touch on this later, is sort of the argument in favor of hacking back or offensive cyber attacks. And it's a controversial subject, and I'm not entirely sure that if you were just an average 60 Minutes viewer and you didn't really have any sort of, you know, background in tech or have a lot of knowledge about cybersecurity, that you would know it's a controversial topic. And I guess we'll start there, Alex. You know, I frequently say in this podcast that you are new-ish to the cybersecurity beat.
Yeah.
Although you've got a year under your belt now, your eyes have been open to the world of cyber. You're just cybering all the time. But you know, I guess relatively speaking, like having watched that episode and watched that 60 Minutes overtime segment, I guess what was your impression? What do you think the message was there?
So, yeah, I think I didn't consider until you asked it right now that I have kind of a unique perspective about this, where that I've been covering cybersecurity long enough to understand immediately why pieces of this story are controversial. But I'm also new enough that I can identify a little bit with what the average 60 Minutes viewer might be thinking when they see this story.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, one might say, goofy sort of presentation styles. So I'm able to understand how the average 60 Minutes viewer would understand the segment. And there's a lot of stuff that might come across rightfully as a little goofy, the way we see it and discuss, and probably the people who listen to this podcast. But if, like, let's say my grandma was watching 60 Minutes and was watching this story, she wouldn't know that it's very weird to describe nation-state hackers as cyber soldiers.
Yeah.
She wouldn't understand why it's wildly incorrect to refer to it as a popular piece of software called SolarWinds.
That's the company name.
I understand why they do some of these things, because people like my grandma are watching it, right?
Yeah, they're not going to understand the technical stuff, yeah.
And they need to set this very, very low baseline, not because she isn't smart, but because she doesn't understand this topic necessarily. And because of that, they need to set a baseline before they get into the more interesting stuff. And they do get to more interesting stuff. However, I thought that the as someone who has been covering cybersecurity for a year, it was both of those segments were very, very strange. Like there was the stuff I mentioned, the use of cyber soldiers and popular software called SolarWinds. Then there was other stuff like, I know there's been a lot of SolarWinds news, and I know that it's very, very strongly suspected, which means it's most certain, it's most likely probably true that Russia's behind this.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it being 100% confirmed beyond a shadow of a doubt publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember, and I think it's very strange based on that information to suggest in the follow-up that we should hack back when it's not even publicly established outside of 60 Minutes that they are the confirmed, like, that's very dangerous reporting.
Yeah. It's like we can turn off the lights in Russia. You know, that's a discussion at one point in, I believe, the overtime segment, where an individual is describing like, oh, we could meddle with their critical infrastructure, we could meddle in their financials, we could do this, and it's like, have we even gotten to the point where, you know,
we've established them as the enemy yet?
You're right. I mean, obviously it's a number of organizations have said it's likely Russia. I think the government has said it's likely Russia. It has not been like, normally when something like this happens, you will have you'll come to a point where, like, the, you know, the government, the CIA or the NSA or the FBI or the whole intelligence community will say, we know that China was behind this, or North Korea was behind this ransomware attack, or Russia was behind, you know, this attack in Ukraine, or this attack in the U.S. We haven't gotten to that point yet, which to your argument, it seems a little early to be discussing, like, hacking back if we're not totally, like, we don't have the attribution picture totally sewn up. But you wouldn't know that it hadn't been sewn up by watching this episode.
And actually, there's one more thing I want to touch on before you continue. The hyperbole from the get-go bothered me a lot. Not just as a, oh, it's annoying and they're being so hyperbolic, but the President Biden, the first line in the thing, right? Yeah. President Biden inherited a lot of intractable problems, but perhaps none is as disruptive as the cyber war between the United States and Russia simmering largely under the radar. Is that really the biggest problem the United States has right now?
We got there's a lot going on these days. And the cyber war, like, just the terminology, like, if you're just a general viewer and you're watching that, you're like, holy crap, are we like lobbing cyber bombs back at one another? Like, is my power about to go out? Like, are there going to be energy grid attacks? I get it. Like, there have been attacks. I mean, there's election interference. There was, you know, the DNC hack. I get, like, maybe cyber war is not too much of an overstatement, but it feels like, I don't know.
None is as disruptive.
Yeah.
When we have a pandemic, we have a contested election.
It's
we
so have weird.
Capital storming. This is the worst thing we have going on.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of things like that in, especially in the main report. I mean, so I'll just say, look. I thought, you and I both thought that Kevin Mandia of FireEye, that middle portion of the episode where he is discussing how they found out what was going on, putting the whole attack in context and what it means, and just sort of describing in very simple terms what took place, I thought was great. I thought it was really good. I thought Chris Inglis, ex-NSA official, he had some good input there in the middle as well. But it just like Microsoft's president, Brad Smith, who's spoken about nation state threats a number of times. You know, he's talking about how there was like probably 1,000 engineers involved in this attack, like this campaign, like the suspected Russian, you know, hackers, nation state hackers behind this. 1,000? And then they sort of like casually say, oh, well, we've got 500 of our folks trying to figure out the attack. Well, wait a minute. If you think there's 1,000 engineers behind the attack, shouldn't you match that? Shouldn't you devote a little bit more? 1,000, that's a lot of people. And okay, maybe that's the case, but like I haven't read anything from FireEye, from Microsoft, or anyone else that sort of dropped like, okay, this is malware that we have never seen before. Like this is so sophisticated. I mean, what they basically said is this campaign was very cunning. It was very well researched. They did a lot of recon, a lot of planning, it was sort of expertly done, but the development and I don't know. I mean, that just seems so odd. And there was no backup to it. There was nothing supporting that. And then, as you know, because I tweeted about this and this really got me, this whole part about the Einstein system. Are you familiar with that? I mean, was that sort of the...
No,
the
I my eyes just sort of glazed over when I read that paragraph.
So this was like, this was, I think it may have been announced as far back as like 2009 or 2010. And the government and DHS started working on this system, you know, a threat detection system for the federal government. And they called it Einstein. And it was designed to sort of, you know, detect malicious threats and malware. And we did a story not long after the office of the OMB there was hacked. And I was just amazed at this when this came out. They said that the Einstein system that they had spent, I tweeted about this. And I said millions, and that was a typo. It should have been billions. Spent so much money on this like proprietary system, and all it did was sort of detect malware based on signatures. In other words, there's no machine learning, there's no AI, there's no sort of analysis to find out threats that have not been previously identified. So like it's only based on known signatures for previously identified malware. Well, what good is that? I mean, that's ridiculous. And so like, you know, the Office of Personnel Management, OPM, was hacked back in, I believe it was 2016. And it was a bad breach, and they suspect it was China. And they were like, why didn't you detect this malware? Why didn't you detect this attack? And they were like, well, you know, we would have, but this Einstein system can only detect or protect against, you know, stuff that's been cataloged, that's like, that has like a known signature. And in the 60 Minutes episode, they're saying, well, the Russians outsmarted it. The hell they did, man. They didn't outsmart it. Like this, like that deserves a 60 Minutes story. The fact that they started building this and they knew it wasn't going to be sufficient enough to stop sort of this, you know, these new threats, and that they were only going to be able to identify and block stuff that was based on known signatures. They should have done something about it. They should have stopped work on it and just ripped it up. They didn't outsmart anything. The only thing that Einstein system is going to stop is like known malware, like your, you know, stuff that's already been caught. What good is that? Oh my God, that made me so angry.
It was
as you can tell.
I sure can tell. One thing that's very frustrating, I'd say, about sort of watching this is that Microsoft and FireEye probably run two of the most well-respected security organizations in the world. Microsoft especially, but FireEye too. That's fair to say, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
And it had the heads of both companies there.
President, I mean, yeah, but right.
But let's say head figures from both companies.
Top executives.
Top executives, especially Mandia, right?
Yeah.
And Mandy was good, but, like, it's frustrating because I understand how TV has to be edited for time very strictly, but there's so much information that had not been confirmed before that it's hard to tell what's new information that we can confirm coming from these two companies, what's incorrect information, what's information that went through the 60-minute CBS meat grinder to get to us. And it's just, it's frustrating because, like, I trust Kevin Mandia, but I don't trust the segment he was on.
Yeah, and like, for example, to your point, it had been reported, I think, by Washington Post, Wall Street Journal. I, you know, apologies to whichever outlet reported it first, but I think it was reported in a couple of different places that the way that FireEye initially detected this breach that they tied back to SolarWinds was because of that 2FA alert that they talked about. But I don't think it was until last night or two nights ago that FireEye confirmed it and said, yup, this is how we found it. This is, you know, regardless, you're right. It's there's a lot of details to this, and they get lost in sort of, you know, all right, what's new, what's really been confirmed, and what's sort of hyperbole. And it can be confusing. Again, like, if I'm a general viewer, I'm sitting there going, oh geez, like, we're in like a cyber war with Russia, like full on, and we've got to like hit them back, I guess, because that's what the experts are saying. I mean, this gets into the real debate here.
Yeah.
The additional segment there, the 60 minutes overtime segment, goes into sort of, you know, it's sort of framed as, you know, experts say that we've got to rethink our cyber policy, and we need a new strategy, and that strategy has to include offensive tactics, aka hacking back. Now, hacking back, as I said, like, it's a very controversial topic, and it's so controversial that, like, a couple years ago at RSA, Brad Smith, the same Brad Smith that was in the previous segment, by the way, got up during his keynote at RSA and said Microsoft is going to be part of this consortium that is going to, you know, we're gonna address nation state cyber, you know, cyber threats, but we are making a pledge to not be involved in offensive cyber attacks and hacking back BS. Like, we are not doing that. And the reason that he and so many other people have said this is because it's dangerous. Like, they have consistently said over the years, like, if we start doing this, there's escalation. You don't know if you're hitting the right people. Attribution for cyber attacks is very hard. You may think you know, but unless you definitely know, you could launch an offensive counterattack against someone and miss and hit someone else, or hit what you think is the right target and ends up being not the culprit. It's just rife with potential errors and danger and risk. But, like, again, you might watch that segment, Alex, and I'm curious for your thoughts on that, you know, extra 5 minutes, but, like, you should be like, wow, this is a great idea. Why aren't we doing this?
Here's what's also kind of another frustrating, is definitely a common word while watching this. And then this was more cybersecurity sort of journalist, writer, whatever, sort of coming in here. But I was looking at that story, and to your point, they talk about, okay, we should do this, and they have people quoted who say we should do this, but it doesn't approach discussion of consequences. And what's very dangerous about sort of presenting the information in this way is that people don't necessarily, my grandma does not have a frame of reference for the SolarWinds attacks or the complexities of hacking. But my grandma or my dad or my mom do have a frame of reference for 2016, when there was that, like, sort of Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump discussion about, do we go soft on Russia or do we go hard on Russia? And then if you take the Hillary Clinton approach of we should go hard on Russia for an issue that's completely separate from this issue and multiple years old based on contexts that aren't necessarily the exact context we're dealing with now, you drum up public support based on faulty information.
Yeah.
That's kind of what makes me... Now, it's 60 Minutes. This isn't like... I think there are consequences to this story, potentially, because it's major network. I don't think the consequences are going to be that severe. But the fact that they're telling the story in this way, when this is the only frame of reference their audience is going to have,
yeah,
is just... I'm not going to dare. I don't know enough about 60 Minutes and CBS to know if they would have an angle. I have no idea.
But
It does not sit right at all with that context in mind.
Right. I mean, I've had my issues with, you know, 60 Minutes and CBS News over the years. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Insider. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. One of my favorite.
I've seen none of your favorite movies.
Yeah, you really got to get on Top Gun, man. But like I have my issues, but I don't think like I wouldn't peg 60 Minutes or CBS News as like, oh, they have an agenda. They're pushing, you know, sort of like this tough on Russia or tough, you know, cyber time here. Like we gotta get tough on like cybersecurity. Like I haven't detected any of that in sort of the previous coverage. I'm not a regular watcher really anymore of 60 Minutes, but I to your point, like I did come across like feeling from both segments, and particularly the overtime one, the extra one, that this was almost like produced in mind to shape public opinion around like, okay, we're not necessarily saying we need to hack back, but we need to respond. Like we need to do something forceful. We need to do X, Y, or Z. And, you know, kind of wondering like, well, okay, well, how many sources behind the scenes in government or ex-government officials were sort of in the ears of producers sort of telling them that this is the direction we want to go, or this is the direction we are going in. Who knows? But it just seems so weird. Like, you know, and I don't want to harp too much on one source, but John Miller, you know, he's formerly of Silence. He is now, he's at a different company now that it's called Bold End. They basically, you know, according to the 60 Minutes episodes, they develop cyber weapons and they sell them to the government so that they can, well, hack people. He's not alone. Like there are especially ex-military folks who believe that hacking back is the way to go. But I would say that they're more of a vocal minority. I think by and large, it feels like, you know, and not just based on the people I've talked to over the years, but just the sentiment you get from going to events and just seeing different people speak about it, that hacking back is a bad idea. That's sort of the consensus opinion. You know, but like I said, John Miller's not alone. And he said, you know, he said it was a cyber terrorism act. And I was just like, I mean, that really caught me off guard. I don't think I ever sort of, you know, thought of the SolarWinds attack as cyber terrorism. It was unprecedented. It was scary. It was all of the things that we've sort of said. It was the scope. It was bad, and it's gonna change things. It's the repercussions of this is just huge, huge. But cyber terrorism? I mean, what did you think of that comment?
Yeah, that and Brad Smith's the largest and most sophisticated attack the world has ever seen.
Yeah.
Cyber terrorism. It just throw that in the bucket of, are they telling us new information or are they telling us the wrong information?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's the wrong information because this guy is not Chris Krebs. I don't know enough about his background to know, but I know that he's not a government source. He's not with Microsoft. he's not with FireEye. He doesn't, I don't know if he has the context to say that with certainty, because if that's true, that's enormous news. But but we don't know if it's true.
Right.
And that's kind of a big problem that it's being spoken like that from the person who's saying we should hack back. Yeah. And also, I sell tools that allow the government to allow hack
that.
Back.
I know. Glad you mentioned that. But yeah, a number of times, I think both Miller, Inglis, and I and maybe James Lewis, the third source in that segment, the overtime segment, James Lewis, director at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. It's a well-known sort of, middle of the road sort of bipartisan think tank. They talk about like, well, this just goes beyond just a normal hack. It's like, it's like they've polluted the supply chain. They've just touched so many things. They could have ruined it all. They could have shut all these things down. They could have destroyed them. They could have done this, that, like just a few lines of code and then boom. But that's the whole point. There's no evidence that they even planned to do that, let alone had the capability implanted in those, in the Sunburst malware or any other types variants of malware that they used in the attack. There was no, the government has come out and said, this is a cyber espionage campaign. Like, we do it all the time. We, the United States, we do this thing all the time. Mm-hmm. We do it. Israel does it. Europe does it. Russia, China, Korea, North Korea. Like, I mean, the way it's being overstated is just crazy to me. And I guess like that's part of my gripe, my beef with this whole thing is that it feels like every time there's an argument in favor of hacking back, it's sort of prefaced with a complete and gross overstatement of what the attack du jour is or was. And in this case, like we're taking SolarWinds now, we're saying a cyber espionage campaign that was devastating and just earth shaking and just the scope was huge. But God, let's not like this wasn't like NotPetya or, WannaCry, like paralyzing businesses across the globe and like costing billions of I just think it got to tone the rhetoric down. And then they get into like the fear of we shouldn't be afraid of escalation. I mean, why not? We shouldn't. I mean, I don't know. Are you afraid of escalation, Alex?
I'm afraid of escalation when it comes to any kind of conflict and anything ever that has ever existed in personal or impersonal context.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was just like, when Miller was like, well, if some of these companies that were attacked in the SolarWinds, breaches, they had their, the attacker stole trade secrets. I was like, since when? Like going back to your point, like, are they breaking news here or is this just wrong? And he said, shouldn't these companies that have been wronged by the attackers have the right to go after the attackers? I'm like, look, if you want to play vigilante justice, if you want to go like Charles Bronson here with a computer, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't want Target or Home Depot thinking that they're like CSI cyber episode or something, thinking that they can just go off and like track down these hackers and make sure that they find the right ones. And I don't know, what are they going to do, blow up their computers?
Coming up on 60 Minutes, we have an interview with a soldier in the cyber war.
Oh my God, like what are they talking about here?
I'm a general in the cyber war.
And that's even separate than like sort of the government sanction, like the government run hacking back and sort of offensive cyber attacks. And it's just so bizarre. And Lewis said, fear of escalation is one of the greatest mistakes and our cyber strategy? I'm like,
this isn't World War II. Like,
guys, let's walk back from the line just a bit. Like, I cover this stuff. You cover this stuff every day. I know how bad this stuff is. I know, like, we, but, you know, I think this is where Inglis, like, was, I thought his point in that segment about, you know, the best offense being a good defense. Like, I'm like, good. I'm glad there's a voice of reason in here, because this is crazy. If you have companies, private sector companies and the government just lobbing cyber weapons and cyber bombs back and forth at one another, I mean, then it's really going to get out of control. And the way that he characterized it, Lewis, you know, basically said, you know, yeah, escalation is a concern, but we shouldn't not do things because we're afraid of, you know, the Russians might be mad. I'm like, man, get over yourself. Like, come on. That is not the reason. The reason is, let's just be fully self-aware. Like, we've done things, the U.S. Like, Stuxnet, we blew up centrifuges in a nuclear weapons facility. Who knows what could have happened with something like that if it had gone wrong? I mean, and then Stuxnet got out. As you know, you wrote about this, I believe it was last year, Alex. Like, that Stuxnet code has been weaponized and reused by other attackers. It's out there. The horse is out of the barn. So if you hack back, if you just create some malware, use some zero days, like, what's to stop people from taking that and repurposing it and like, hitting Target or Home Depot again? I mean, this is just like, it's not fear. It's not like, oh, we don't want to make the Russians mad. It's common sense. Like, it's technical. Just like, you have to recognize the dangers involved here. And I felt like that segment is just like, it just blew past those stop signs. I was like, I couldn't believe it.
And it's not, the problem isn't even like that. There's never a reason. Like, yes, there are times when a fear of escalation,
yes,
is superseded by the need to do justice. Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. There are circumstances. We don't even know who our enemy is yet in this case.
Oh, God. Yeah.
We don't know what their aim was. We don't. And how can you make an appropriate response without those two things being rock solid? Like, it's not that escalation is never necessary. It's that the premise you're building that on is a house of cards that's already mid-falling.
It's just, yeah, and it's so shaky. And like we've said, we've talked about this, we've written about this, like, cyber attribution is so hard. And there are ways to disguise attacks and make it look like another country or look like another hacking unit or look like cyber criminals. There's just a million ways. It's very complicated. And, like, there's none of that nuance in this discussion. And it's just, it's so weird. And, like, are we, you know, look, if you want to take down TrickBot and you know, you have identified the TrickBot infrastructure and you want U.S. Cyber Command to get involved and you want them to start manipulating the code, have at it, man. Do it. Let's do it. I am pro cyber command. Like, let's get it. Let's get it going on. Go after the ransomware groups. Go after. But, like, I mean, Lewis was talking about, like, turning off the lights in Russia. I mean, come on. Let's walk back from the line here a little bit. I just think talk like that without any sort of discussion about the realities and the nuances is just, it's so irresponsible. And it really scares me because I just, you know, your point about your grandma, like, are there people watching this being like, yup, time to get the posse, time to get the cyber posse. Let's go after those Russians. Like, good God. I mean, how many people are going to think that that's a good idea?
Well, like, I think the fear is that, like, we don't want people in the House and Senate to see this report and to, yeah, see people talking about this report. Yep. And then it just turns into this game of telephone that has actual consequences.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get too carried away. been ranting and yelling about this for nearly 30 minutes now.
Old cybersecurity journalist yells at
me. I mean, I don't know what the impact of this group. We've obviously discussed how it's been getting a lot of attention in the InfoSec community, in InfoSec Twitter. I don't know how many people are really going to take that to heart in the general public. I don't know how many people are going to be writing their congressman telling them it's time to hack back. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I just wish that it had been done differently.
Yeah.
So until the next time we see 60 Minutes tackle a cyber issue or really any sort of television news program.
Gotta love the fact that we tripled the length of time of the original 60 Minutes report on this.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know. You're right. Because this is just a lot to unpack. But Alex, I'm glad you were here to unpack it with me and to discuss it with me. And sorry, I was ranting and getting carried away. But I'm glad you were my co-pilot on this journey into apoplectic rage, I guess. So
always a pleasure, Rob. But let's land this plane.
Yeah. And thank you to the readers and listeners of Search Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.